Oh, we're being recorded now.
Hello, New York. So the
good morning, New York.
What are we doing here?
Large with anchovies.
Let's start at the beginning of the paragraph over here. On the bottom of Reish Lamed Vav. The Zvi Shalom had brought a mashal of a small city. Actually, it's not the mashal of Zvi Shalom. It's a pasuk in Koheles that there's a small city where there's a few people, and a great king comes to the city and surrounds it and builds fortresses around it. He finds inside of it a poor person who is wise, and that person saves the entire city with his wisdom. And no one remembers this poor person. So the Nesi Yerushalayim had explained that the small city is the person, and the big king is the Yetzirah, and the poor wise person is the Yetzer Tov. That's where he's holding now the Yetzer Tov. Oh, the Eitzel is there. The Eitzel, the advice to be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara is Umotzah by Yishmiskein Chacham Umolat Hu Asayir B'Chachmasai. Is finding the poor person who is wise and saving the entire city with his wisdom. With the power of the Yetzer Tov, Umiskein V'Chacham. He is called in the Pasuk both the poor and the wise. Miskein Meramiz Shemis Nazim Kolon Yonei Anoz Tavaz Elamazer Shenef Shabahamiz Mechandasan. Miskein means that he is impoverishes himself of all of the pleasures of this world that the animalistic soul desires them. Adam HaPedish Metavoysav, someone who separates himself from his desires, who abstains from his desires, weakens and subjugates. He weakens and subjugates the power of evil that is within him. So we talked about this last week. This is where we left off. And Chacham, he is wise, that represents someone whose wisdom stands for him, meaning the Chol Pituya Yetzahara, because all of the whole seduction of the Yetzahara, Husha Metabit
Pituya
Skins?
Pituises.
Pituies. It causes a person to become foolish. As Chazal say, that a person does not transgress an Aveira unless a spirit of folly has entered him. So the person who overpowers his wisdom over the folly of the Yetzer Hara, that person saves the city, which is himself, with his wisdom. Rambam says the Yetzer Hara only has a shlita, only has an effect over a heart that is void of wisdom. And the pasuk continues, and no one remembers, no person remembers this poor person. Meaning a person forgets, a person forgets that the main avodas Hashem is subjugating one's physicality and desire. Imki kol echad mevin, even though everyone understands, even though a person understands that wisdom can save a person from their animalistic desires, shemekoidam tipshus, because their source is foolishness. However, to the truthfulness of the matter, as the pasuk says, tzadikim said, "Ra iav shalakar v'sichli as davad." One cannot uproot evil just with intellect. As long as a person does not subjugate their physicality and their animalistic soul, he cannot even grasp Kedusha and godly insights. Meaning, one would hope that their godly insight will be able to help them overcome their desires. But it doesn't work that way, because one cannot achieve godly insights as long as the taiva is so strong. That's a catch 22.
It's a question. The godly insights are something other than intellectual? Must be.
No, he's talking about intellectual.
It is talking about intellectual. Because we've often said that a person can know all of Shas and so on, but have no connection to
the person. Can also know all of Shas and not have any godly insights.
I'm sorry?
A person can also know all of Shas and not have any godly insights.
Okay, well, that's what I'm trying to get at. What do we mean by godly insights?
Godly insights means grasping Hasogas in godliness. Revenge, though.
Hasogas in Senko.
Grasping, what does it mean? What are you grasping?
Seichel is the intellectual understanding of the thing. And he's saying here that that's not going to be enough to fight the Yetzirah. So in order to fight the Yetzirah, you need Hasogas Elokus. Hasogas Elokus is certainly cannot be intellectual. It has to be a kind of...
like a gift from above.
Hasogas is the appreciation of something. And that is not an intellectual thing. You can listen, you can have a hasoga for music, which is totally not intellectual. You can understand everything there is to do about the harmony and counterpoint of that piece of music intellectually, and not have an absolute hasoga as to the beauty of that music.
Okay.
And he's saying here that you're not going to win this battle with Seichel. You're just not. He's too powerful. Pitui, why? Because he wants to make you a fool. It's the ticket. She wants to make you into a fool. That's his opera MO, is to make you into a fool. I mean, I think it's a very deep psychological piece, this. And it's saying that you're not going to win that battle. Just use your seichel.
Right. I think you're right with this. There's knowing something, there's appreciating.
Okay. So here,
knowing something is not going to help you against your Torah.
So here we're talking about appreciating. Is that right?
Right.
Hasoga is more than merely
the word. The definition, the translation of the word hasoga is grasp. Uh-huh. I mean, you could have a person in the audience that you could talk to a person all about Hashem, and it's not going to faze the person at all. Then you have a person that you talk to him about godliness and all. The person's all enthused. So the difference is,
enthused.
Right.
As in the Greek.
Yes.
And they are. But I think Hasog is a faculty. It's a different faculty. Totally, to intellect. Right. I mean, that's the whole Piasetzner's raising children speech, right? It's not enough just to shtuk them. You have to feed their spiritual imaginative faculty. It's a faculty that comes from early age that you have to feed and develop.
So that's what we're talking about here. We're saying that you need to overcome the Yetzirah.
Right, what he's saying is...
this that Dr. Unger is talking about and what we're talking about here. It's appreciation
of godliness. So what he's saying is that even though that is what is going to help a person overcome the Yetzirah, the person can't achieve that without overcoming the Yetzirah either.
Right.
So that's the catch 22. You can't overcome your Yetzirah
until you overcome your Yetzirah.
No, right. I mean, this will help you overcome your... If a person is indeed... appreciates godliness, that will help the person overcome the
Yetzer Hara. He's saying, you're not even going to get to the front door.
But again, but had the person had that, he would be able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. So it is, he's saying, as he said,
as long as you're listening to pop music, you will never appreciate a Bach prelude. As long as you're listening to that, there's no hasaga you will ever get for the subtlety of a Mahler's fifth, because your head is filled with that shtussy music, right? That is a fact. Ask any teacher of music. That's what he's saying here.
Okay. As the Lechavitcher explained, the Animamin, one of the Animamins that we say is Lo Yasiguhu Masige Haguf, that anybody with physical grasp cannot grasp Hashem. I mean, the literal understanding is that no one can grasp Hashem because we're all physical. So the Lechavitcher says anybody that is involved in grasping physicality cannot grasp Hashem. That's how he explains the
idea. And he uses the same verb, hasoga.
Hasoga, right. This is the animam.
I want to be a wine connoisseur and spend my life tasting wines to develop that taste. You're not going to have room for the other hasoga. It's
well, if your entire life is tasting wine, right, but if you do various things and one of those is enjoy wine, I don't know that he's saying
that. But again, what he's saying is someone who's preoccupied with achieving physicality will not be able to grasp God. That's what he's saying. That is, if a person is preoccupied,
your main focus should be
in grasping
Hashem.
Right. That if a person is preoccupied in grasping any type of physicality in their desires, they will not be able to grasp what they could grasp or they should be grasping in ruchnis.
So essentially, your first.
Let's just finish what he says. If somebody wants to grasp the physical pleasures. I mean, that is his desire. Any of y'all ask somebody as much money, he will not be able to grasp the Creator. I feel like I know he's goofing his shame. We're talking about physical desires, physical pleasures, that there is no chash, there is no question of any prohibition, Chasar Shalom. I feel like I had the mitzvah.
If you wouldn't know the front page of this book, you'd think this was Nevadic.
I want you to just translate. He says that any physical pleasure, even a physical pleasure that comes together with a mitzvah, if his body benefits from it, derives pleasure from it, he is distancing himself from Hashem. Now, I'm not sure.
Through a mitzvah.
What?
Even through a mitzvah, which by definition brings you closer to Hashem.
Right. But he's saying if there's physical pleasure, then the person is distancing himself from Hashem. Meaning that what he expects us to a level that we should achieve is that even when we're doing a mitzvah that involves physical pleasure, that our ruchnias should be on such a level that the physical pleasure should be like...
It's only our neshama benefited.
No, it's not only our body can benefit, it just won't be... The spiritual pleasure will be so great that the physical pleasure won't even be a factor.
I think that he's talking about Hasaka, that he's pitting Hasaka's Ruchnius versus Hasaka's Hanoas Hakuf. So he's telling you, you're going to have two operating systems working here. The faculty for sensual pleasure and the faculty for spirituality. And you can make a choice as you're eating that food, which faculty you're going to operate. I think it's more subtle than just this is physical and this is spiritual. I think he's saying, in the Ruchnius, you could be doing a mitzvah, but the hasoga you're using is your choice. And you can say, oh, this is a great wine I'm tasting for Kiddush, and I'm
Kiddush
feeling it on my
head. To learn better.
And no. He's saying that it's not the end goal. It's the actual pleasure. It's the hasoga you're using as you're tasting that wine, or you're saying, no, this wine is a vehicle for making Kiddush for this. It's the hasoga he's talking about, the faculty that you're operating with.
I guess while you're making Kiddush, I think. I think we're saying the same thing. That let's say we like use his marshal of making Kiddush. The pleasure that a person gets while he's drinking the wine of Kiddush could be, this is terrific wine, this is great, or it could be I'm taking pleasure in the mitzvah. This is.
So does this imply we should use only nasty wine for kids?
No, quite the contrary. You could. No, I think that you could. That you should. The good tasting wine should be, I'm taking pleasure in the mitzvah. Instead of just.
But it's still. Even if you're using nasty.
Did you spite the wine?
No. Because of the wine.
But he's making it an either or.
I don't think so. I think. I'm,
and is the implication you shouldn't be drinking wine other than for Kiddush?
Yeah.
Oh, that's for sure.
No, he's saying when involved in mitzvah.
Right.
He's saying when involved in mitzvah.
He'll be for mitzvah, though.
He doesn't say you can't enjoy yourself. He's saying when you're performing a mitzvah.
Sounds are over after the Seder, after the Pesach Seder. He used to hit his tongue. He said, Sisu may I. Be joyous, my side that it had matzah and horror and our voices.
It's so funny because the Torah Tmima went to see, he was a young boy, he was 17 years old. The first night Seder, he went to the Briskerov for a climb, and the second night he went to the Netziv. The first night, they're sitting there with the watch and the chatzos, and he's got the Briskerov has a scale, he's actually weighing the matzah. And it gets
the burnt.
they're tasteless, they're useless, and there's anxiety, and there's a pachad, no one's saying a word, there's no divrei Torah, we're getting to that chatzos, we get to that mitzvah. And after he thought, okay, now there'll be some singing. Afterwards, there's anxiety, did I make it on time? Did I eat it in 18 seconds? Did I? And the whole part, the next night he goes to the Netziv, it's way past the chatzos. They're singing Shira Sayyam, they're saying Torahs. The Torah to me is two separate approaches.
I've had one of those. Oh my. I went straight to chakras.
They tell a true story, Mom. The true story of a Yid, a Chassidish Yid, that went to he went to bake matzahs, and he's so involved. That's about the schus of baking matzahs for Pesach, and he goes and he mamish with the shay. He says l'shem yichud beforehand, and it was a tremendous simcha that he had. And he, after, you know, they distribute the matzahs, he went with all chabura, he distributed the matzahs, and he comes back, and they give him six matzahs that he has for his two starim, and he's dancing through the streets on his way home, and he meets a brisker on the way home, and he sees this brisker's walking with an anxious face, and so the brisker stops him, asks him, what are you dancing for? He says, don't you see I'm carrying matzahs for the Seder? I just bake these with them. This brisket can't help but appreciate the simcha that this chassid has. And the chassid says to him, where are you going? So he said, I just baked matzahs. And we have this chumrah and that chumrah and Mamash. We have all the chumras that they have, that there are. I forgot one important nekuda. So he says the Brisker asked the chosim, how do you know that your matzahs are good matzahs? He said, because I spent the last week davening that the Rebbeinu Shlom should give me kosher matzahs for the sake. So he asks Brisker, where are you going? He said, we had this chumrah and that chumrah. He says, and where are you going now? He said, I'm going to ask the Brisker Rav if the matzahs are kosher. So the chassid was so misspoiled that they had all these chumras. So the chassid said to the Brisker, you know what? If you're willing, I'm willing to exchange matzahs with you. So and here the Brisker was so misspoiled that he davened for all week. They actually have good matzahs, so probably his matzahs are good. So they made an exchange. He took the Brisker's on, Brisker took his matzahs. And the chassid there was no end to his joy. He was dancing with the home. And the Brisker comes to the Brisker Rav, and the Brisker looks at the matzahs and he says, Rav, chomet. So he says, Rebbe, this chassid davened that he should have good matzahs. He says, he got good matzahs.
I asked the wrestler on Friday night, how many years have you been doing this Vodalus every single night? He said, he didn't want to say, 34 years. So I said, what was your biggest challenge in putting time aside to talk to the Vodalus? He said, the first half, to get rid of my dishonesty, not to fool myself, and the second half was to find my honesty.
Yeah. Okay. Well, basically, what I think he's saying over here is that if a person's spiritual appreciation supersedes his physical pleasure, that's gewaltig. And if he appreciates his physical pleasure so much that it supersedes his appreciation for his making kiddush, then he is distancing himself from Hashem. I think any badass would be anybody with a little bit of cycle, understanding what they're doing, will, I think, their pleasure, their appreciation for the mitzvah will supersede their physical pleasure. At least in most areas. I mean, if somebody takes nasty wine for kiddush, they're degrading the mitzvah.
Most people take nasty wine for kiddush, as far as I can tell.
Ask me, I'm talking about something that's nasty for themselves. And this concept is also relevant to asay toiv, to doing what's positive. Shayetzer matkifoy vebeiz hachazisois v'nyanei chitzonis v'nyanei penimius. The Torah grabs a person both in areas of in external areas and internal areas, meaning he doesn't allow the person to learn Torah and to observe mitzvahs and to perform acts of charity and kindness. And even if the person does overpower the Yetzahara and he actually physically fulfills the mitzvahs, the Yetzirah tries to overcome the person that his good deeds should be at least compromised internally. The pnius, with ulterior motives, begeus, the arrogance of chumitzan hashem lamada, or that it should be done out of habit. And mainly, the Yetzirah does not allow the person to be able to appreciate what he's doing in a way of that a person, as it says in the Pasuk, his heart rose in the ways of Hashem, meaning that a person needs to have a simcha and an appreciation for what they're doing. And the person remains standing out on the outside. The Pnimius Heichlan Melech and Enechnas, and he doesn't enter into the inner chambers of the king. Kol Maasav Al Tovim Megeder Chitonius. All the person's deeds end up being just outward instead of inward. Tarosai Kamashu Ulaimed and Masameki Betsuda Chitonius Ba'alma. The person's Torah, no matter how much he deepens his mind, it ends up just being something outward. The person doesn't have any grasp or any appreciation for the to internalize what he is learning. And we're not even talking about that he's not learning the Shema for the right purpose. His davening is outward. Even when he pours out his soul it's all about outward matters. So also when he purifies tries to purify his character traits. As much as he tries to work on himself, he works on how it looks outwardly. And therefore he cannot achieve, as it says in the Pasuk, the king has brought me into his chambers. We will be happy and joyous with him. The person cannot be joyous with the Rebbeinu Shleilam unless he first enters the inner chambers. Shenachnas the Pnimius Eichel HaMelech. Which means that somebody has to work, has to appreciate things internally. This concept of being joyous with the king, something that only one who enters the chambers of the king internally, this is achieving the highest of levels. As the Kabbalah explains, that what we say by davening, there is no value that one can place. Now, there is no comparison to Hashem in this world. And there is nothing besides you, our King. So the Kabbalah explained like this: there is nothing that can compare to you, Hashem, in this world. Meaning, in this world, all we want is you. And also in Olam Haba, all we want is you. And there is nothing besides you when Mashiach comes, meaning when Mashiach comes, all we want is you. And nothing compares to you at the time of Tchias HaMeisim. Even then, all we want is you. So basically, all we want is the Rabbeinu Shalom. Yes, the Father is the Vodavak Deshim. So we can explain his words. A person that whose goals are all egoistic. By him, there are great differences between these four levels of this world, next world, and each one of these different periods They have a different meaning to him. Yeah. This world is different than the next world. The next world is different than the Mashiach. The Mashiach is different than the Tchisa Mason. But a person that all he wants is Hashem, there's no difference. What do I care if it's there's only one thing that he cares about in his life and after his death, that's all he cares about is the punish. The tremendous differences that are between these different periods are tremendous. That's only for a person who cares about himself. In Megashmias, in Beruchnias, whether it's physically or spiritually, but a Jew whose entire life is the Rebbeinu Shleilah, with all of his essence, all he wants is Hashem. This goal is the same. It's tremendous. And somebody who reaches this level, is on the level of the chosid that is brought in the chavis alavavis, shayakom balayla. He used to get up in the middle of the night. Vayimer used to say, Elikai, my God, hiraftani, you have starved me. Ve'edom hazavtani, you have left me naked. Machshaki alayla shaftani, you have placed me in the darkness of the night. Ve'uzcha ugidolcha hideisoni, but you have shown me your greatness. Imtisrifeni ve'esh lo'yosif ki ma'ahava oisach, if you will burn me in fire, it will only add to my love to you, v'simchabach, and my joy to you. That is the level of being joyous with Hashem. He said that Rebbe Meilich used to say that he's not afraid of Gehenna. He said, because when he gets up to heaven and Hashem will say to him, Meilich, to Gehenna, he said, I'll jump with Simcha. He said, Rosh Hashem. Mm-hmm. That's Rosh Hashem, that's where I go.
And thus you avoid Gehenna.
It's interesting that all these different worlds were made for egoistic people.
And since we spent so much time talking about it,
yeah. No, I think for kids, it's to reward those who are not egoistic.
This is tremendous.
Huh?
This is tremendous. This just told us how to avoid, essentially, how to avoid the pains, at least, the pains of Gehenna.
All I want is a Rebbeinu Shleilah.
All I want is a Rebbeinu Shleilah. Rebbeinu Shleilah wants me in this fiery furnace? Yay.
Yep. Aderech lehagia ledagos Elohis Elu. Okay, now how do we achieve these levels? This is the goal of Avodas Hashem. Remezes b'pasuk. This is all alluded to in this pasuk of Umatzaba Ishmiskein Chacham Umalatuhu as a Yerba Chachmasai. He has found the poor wise person that is found in the city that saves the entire city with his wisdom. What is the level of this poor, wise person that has the ability to save the city? To explain this is to understand that the base to enter the most internal avoida to this concept of going into the king's chambers, as it is brought from Rechaim Vital, the Taharas Amidis Yamakova V'Hashra L'Chol HaToyda. that purifying one's character traits is the chariot upon which the Torah rests. Only someone who purified his midas is someone who is worthy that the Torah should rest upon him. Okay, so now we know that in order for the Torah to rest upon a person, the person needs to purify his midas. Now, how do you purify your midas? Now the base for purifying one's midas, and the central hinge. Yes, thank you. Upon which the bad midas turn. Is the concept of ego. That's all. It all boils down to. Adam shehu anoichi. Roirak is atzmai, a person that is egoistic and all he sees is himself. He only loves himself. It's not possible for such a person to love Hashem or to love anybody else. Because his attribute of love is busy. It's busy with loving himself. He has nothing to give away to anybody else. As the Baal Shem Tov says on the Pasuk, which literally is Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Anoichi Oimid Bein Hashem Avanechem, I stand between you and Hashem. Says Baal Shem Tov, the I stands between you and Hashem. Anoichi is Oimedes Kemachita Mavsekes Bein Hashem Avanechem. The ego is what stands as a barrier between Hashem and ourselves. Kizesh Shiroi is Atzmai, somebody who only sees himself, Eini Mesuga Lidus Elikus, cannot see godliness.
Where does Ibahavzal Recha Kamocha come into play? What he's saying, don't love yourself, only love Hashem.
Ibahavzal Recha Kamocha means love your fellow as much as you naturally love yourself.
Saying not to naturally.
Naturally, you can't help that the person naturally loves themselves. Take that love and stop loving yourself so much and love someone else that much.
So it shouldn't be so much. Love for yourself or somebody else.
What?
That love for yourself or somebody else shouldn't be that much. Because really, it's just love for Hashem.
No. The love for others is also out of love of Hashem.
Yeah.
Because Hashem tells me to love somebody else. Mihine. Okay, I'll stop here.